Connect to the goods, the services, and the community of yard sale folks. And it's all absolutely free. On air and online, it's the Swap Shop, only at GoBlueRidge.net.
Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, or on Baird's Creek Road, off of the Highway 105 south side of town. We would love for you to come and visit with us if you are in the area and you do not have a church home. Maybe you're looking, maybe you're visiting. We have a lot of visitors throughout the year. We always appreciate that. But we'd love for you to come and be with us. I want to take a moment to invite you to special services that we're having beginning this coming Sunday, October the 12th. We're going to begin revival services Sunday night, October 12th. We will begin at 6 p.m., and then Monday through Friday night, we will begin our services at 7 p.m. And Pastor Dennis Eller from the Macedonia Baptist Church in Chilhowee, Virginia, is going to be with us. And we're looking forward to having Brother Eller come, and many of you in the area and our local listeners and those on WZAP as well. You probably have heard of or know of Brother Eller. He has been pastoring for many years now and preached around in lots of different revival services. He's been here in several churches in Watauga County in years gone by, and we are looking forward to having Brother Eller come and be with us and preach, and we'll have singing every night, and we're just looking forward to the Lord to move. Well, move in our midst, move in our hearts, and help us in the church. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us. There's a lot of revivals going on in the area. I do not have a list of announcements or anything like that, but we just need to pray one for another that the Lord would just have his way and help our churches, encourage us, strengthen us, edify us. And so we're looking forward and praying for revival. We've been in revival this past week at the Beulah Baptist Church, and my, what a great time we've had at Beulah with Pastor Dwayne Dillard, and just thanking the Lord. Well, I want to say how much we appreciate all of our listeners on each of the different radio stations right here on WATA in Boone, North Carolina, and then our listeners on 690 AM WZAP, and also our listeners on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate the opportunity to be on these different radio stations. Noah is not able to be with us today. He's tied up with work, but I sure do appreciate all the help that he gives me in the radio ministry. We have been looking at the subject of Heroes of Liberty. Heroes of Liberty. And what I've been doing every week since about the 1st of August, somewhere right around in there, I'd have to look back, but just short character studies, one per week, on different individuals that have been what we classify heroes of liberty. And we have not been taking these in any particular order. In fact, we began with Moses. And Moses, as we look and think about his life, how he gave the law. But every week when we come on the Blessings of Liberty, we quote Leviticus 25:10. This is the first time you find the word liberty in the Bible. And we find there that it is the word of the Lord. This is God's idea for mankind, the Lord's desire. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Liberty is God's idea, and liberty is all-inclusive. And so we talked about Moses. We talked the next week about the impact of the Lord Jesus Christ on society, in America, through the Bible, through the churches, through the preachers, through the songs. I mean, on and on we could go. Grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We talked about a man named Tertullian. He's one of the early church fathers that fought for and preached for religious liberty when the government began to take over the church or try to take over and get involved in the ministry and in the business of the church. Tertullian preached for religious liberty and that man had a free conscience to worship God, and you could not force him or make him follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at Tertullian. We looked at James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, called many times the father of the Constitution. We looked at the life of Dr. William Beanes, Dr. William Beanes, and it is now the 200-year anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner. And if you've been watching, you watch any sports, I like to watch the beginning when they sing the Star Spangled Banner all together. And I always get a thrill out of that. I usually enjoy that if it's done tastefully. And Dr. William Beanes, if it had not been for him, Francis Scott Key would not have been on that boat in the harbor on that morning when the sun came up and they saw the Star Spangled Banner waving in the breeze. And it was Dr. Beanes that kept asking the day before and throughout the night and early the next morning, he kept saying, can you see the flag? Can you see the flag? Is it still there? And you know the first stanza of the song in the Star Spangled Banner says, "Oh, say, can you see?" And so Dr. William Beanes, we looked at his contribution, and he was an older gentleman. We looked at the circumstances that brought him to that place. We looked at Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." We looked last week at Tecumseh, a Shawnee Indian leader, and his desire and his fight for liberty for his people. Now, today we want to turn back into the pages of the Bible. And I want us to think about a man who has had a great, great influence on society in America. But when we first see him in the Scriptures, he was not a fan of religious liberty. In fact, he did everything he could to stamp out the Christian religion. He was there at the very outset, at the very beginning. And he worked within his power and the authority that he had to try to stamp out Christianity. They viewed Christianity as a cult or a sect of Judaism. And the gentleman we're going to look at today, he was a Jew, and he seen Christianity as a threat to their way of life. And he tried to stamp out, with all of his might and all of his power, he tried to stamp out the early church, Christianity. In fact, the first time we see this gentleman in the Scriptures, he was attending a public execution. One of the early deacons, one of the first deacons in the early church, his name was Stephen, and Stephen was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they took him out and they stoned him to death. Now, you talk about a violent, horrible way to die, as I imagine it. That would be a terrible way, and just a vivid picture left in your mind if you were to actually witness somebody being stoned to death. But that is exactly what was taking place. Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse number 58, about Stephen, that they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And that's who we're going to look at today. We're going to look at this young man. And I don't know that I had really paid much attention before. I hadn't really noticed that the Bible points out that Saul embarked upon this career when he was just a young man. And so those that stoned Stephen to death, you know, in order to get a good wind up, they had to take off that heavy outer garment, and they took off their heavy outer garment, and they laid him down at Saul's feet, and they stoned Stephen until he died, is what the Bible says. Well, just a couple of verses after that, in the next chapter, chapter 8, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul stood by while they stoned Stephen for preaching the gospel, and he was consenting." That means he was in favor of it. He voted for it. He went along with it. He thought it was a good thing that they took Stephen out and they killed him. They murdered him because he preached the gospel of Christ. Well, a couple of verses after that, verse number 3 of chapter 8 in the book of Acts, it says this, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Here we see Saul. He is in the, he has a authority as a religious leader. And he goes, the Bible says, now can you imagine this? He goes from house to house. He hears a rumor. Oh yeah, the neighbor down the street, I think they're a Christian. They've been going to these meetings. They've been listening to Peter and John preach, and they've been going to church down there with him, and Saul took it upon himself to go, think about that, from house to house, wreaking havoc in the church. He would haul men and women out of their houses and put them in prison for being associated or being Christians. That's what we find Saul doing in the Bible. And Saul gets worse and worse as time goes on. He becomes more adamant about wiping out Christianity, stamping it out, doing everything he can against Christianity. We see in Acts chapter number 9, in verse number 1, the Bible said this, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." So now we see him. Boy, he is emotionally invested in this thing. It has become his number one mission in life. And we see the picture there in the Bible. Can you imagine breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord? Now, that's more than saying, "I'm going to hunt them down and put them in prison." That's saying, "I'm going to hunt them down and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all." What would you, what other way would you interpret breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord? The Bible says he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So Saul, he gathers a posse together, and he gets letters of authority to go into the different cities, to go into Damascus, and to go to the synagogues, and to present that to the leaders there, the religious leaders, that he had authority, if he found any of these Christians, that he could round them up, and that he could bind them, and he could haul them back and put them into prison. And that is the life desire and goal of this man, Saul, that we find in the Bible. And in the beginning of Saul's life, Saul was like many of our other heroes that we have studied about. Now, what I mean by that, Saul wanted liberty for his religion. He wanted liberty for his way of life. He wanted liberty for his way of worshiping God, but he had no desire for others to have that same liberty extended unto them. So he thinks he's doing a service for God to go out in the name of God and to kill and put into prison others who desired to worship the same God he claimed to be worshiping and serving. And so Saul, that's how we find him in the Bible. And we find that same pattern over and over and over again in history. We find that the pilgrims came to this country seeking religious freedom. It'll come up Thanksgiving before we know it. Here it is already October. We're going to get into November. Surely we'll think about the pilgrims coming to America. They're being persecuted in their homeland, and they cannot worship God. They don't have liberty of conscience. They come to America. They are soon followed by the Puritans, who find themselves in disfavor with the Church of England in England. So they come to America seeking religious freedom. But you know what? The Puritans, they are not willing to allow others to have religious liberty. They're not willing that others would worship God according to their conscience. And we find that the Puritans, early in this country, our nation's history, those that disagreed with them, the Baptists, the Quakers, any others, they would banish them to the wilderness, which in that day and time was nothing more than a death sentence. That's how Roger Williams came to Rhode Island, and how he became the founder of the colony of Rhode Island. He was seeking religious freedom, and he butted heads with the Puritans, and he found himself banished to the wilderness because he did not agree with the state church. They banished people. They whipped them. They put them in the post. They put them in chains. They confiscated their property. They fined them. They imprisoned them. They did all of these things. They wanted religious freedom, but they didn't want anybody else to have religious freedom. We find another example in history. We find men like Thomas Jefferson. Well, I've said a whole lot over the years about Thomas Jefferson. He's got a lot of good points. He may not have been a Christian, but he had his head screwed on straight in some respects, not every respect, but he's a wise man. And we appreciate many of the things which he had to say. We studied about James Madison, the father of the Constitution. Both of these men had a hand in the writing of the Declaration of Independence. You read the Declaration of Independence. They evidently believed in liberty and justice for all. But you know what? If you study that out in history, you'll find out that that liberty and justice for all, it did not include the slaves. It did not include the Indians. It just included the ones that that were like them, that believe like they believe. We're talking about historically how things are. Yes, they're heroes of liberty. We're thankful for the contributions that they made, but their idea of liberty and justice only went so far. Saul's idea of liberty only went so far. The Puritans' idea of liberty only went so far. We looked at Tecumseh last week, a Shawnee Indian leader. He believed in liberty for his people. He saw that if they lost their land, they would be lost as a nation. They were losing their land. This is land they grew up in. It belonged to them. He believed in concert or all together, collectively, that all of the Indian people, the land belonged unto them. But he saw the land was being traded away and bartered away and sold away to and the Indians were they were more and more into a corner in the country, and that the white man was soon going to have him all. Well, he believed in liberty for the Indians and for his people, but not for the white men, not for the black men. Remember the first time, I think it was one of the first times I went to Oklahoma to preach, and I've mentioned that I've been out there several times now and preached in different Indian churches, and I've got friends that are Indians and full-blooded Indians, Choctaw, and so we were out there, and we went by an Indian cemetery, and there was a Confederate flag flying in that cemetery. Well, I was interested in that. That really surprised me. And I asked my friend, I said, what about that? And he said, the Indians fought for the Confederacy. He said the Indians had slaves and believed in slavery. Why? They had captives. They had slaves. They believed in freedom and liberty for themselves, but they did not extend it unto others. Now, Saul was no different. But to say that he had a change of heart is an understatement of the century. I see your time is quickly going to get gone today. I've got to get into this. But Saul, what happened to him? What brought about his change of heart? Well, Saul became a Christian. Saul became the Apostle Paul. That is who we are talking about today. Saul became the Apostle Paul. And he wrote later in the book of Galatians. Now, Galatians, the book to the Galatians, and we call it the book of Galatians. That's called many times his fighting epistle. And he talks in the book of Galatians about liberty. And he talks about the way he was before. And he said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 23 about those who had heard about him and what had happened to him and how he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 8, and the Lord appeared to him and he became a Christian. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and Jesus Christ changed him, changed his name from Saul to Paul. But he writes to the Galatians, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And Paul went from being a persecutor to a preacher to being the one persecuted. Paul ended up in prison. Paul ended up being persecuted for the faith, for the sake of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul ended up dying as a martyr for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a persecutor become a preacher, become the persecuted. And that's what he's writing to the Galatians about, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And as I've studied about these heroes of liberty, there's something very interesting that I keep coming up against, and it's this: only in true biblical Christianity do you find complete liberty of conscience and freedom of religion. That is not found in a political party. It is not found in a denomination. But it is found in the pages of the Bible. True liberty is not found historically in Judaism, because that's what Saul was. He was a Jew, and he set out to stamp out the Christians, those that disagreed with him. It is not found in Judaism. It is not found in Catholicism. There's a long history of persecution of other Christians, those that did not agree, those that did not go along with them. It is not found in Protestantism. Many of the Protestants, many of the those that maybe you've heard about, John Knox, John Calvin, they persecuted Christians that did not agree with them. So although they believed in liberty for what they believed, they didn't believe in liberty for everybody. You have histories of persecution of others and opposition in the Eastern religions, Hinduism, Buddhism. I've read the life story of J. Hudson Taylor and how he went to China. And boy, many of those early missionaries, they were martyred by the Buddhists, by those that claim peace and to be open-minded and all of those things. Well, they were not open-minded to the Christians and to the message of the gospel. You do not find religious liberty in Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. Islam is not a religion that extends religious liberty to other people of faith, to other people that say they believe in God. You look over there in the Middle East today, and what do you find? You find persecution. You find beheadings. You find all of these things. Go try to open a church. Go try to preach the gospel in Saudi Arabia or Egypt or Jordan or any of these countries over there that are in the... Go try to do that in Syria. Go try to do that in Iraq and see what happens in those countries. So true liberty only comes from the pages of the Bible. Now, keep in mind the background of Saul. He was a hater. He was a persecutor. He was a oppressor until he met the Lord. Now, I want to give you a few things that we glean from the writings of the Apostle Paul. Of course, he wrote by inspiration of the Lord. A common text used at the time of the American Revolution was 2 Corinthians 3:17, penned by the Apostle Paul. He said this, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Now, he wasn't preaching that before we meet him in Acts chapter 9. He was saying no liberty. He was saying put him in prison. But now he's saying where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The word liberty is found in 10 different books in the New Testament, 5 of them written by the Apostle Paul. Well, we get this from Paul's writings. In Christianity, we find the answer to the age-old problems of racism and inequality. Galatians 3:26, Paul said this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 28, he said, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Have you ever heard that song, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross"? Paul is saying it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Greek. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. We used to sing that song when I was little in Sunday school, "Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight." Only in true biblical Christianity do you find the answer for racism and inequality. The Bible teaches we are all one by faith in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It does not matter if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're bond or you're free. You only find that on the pages of the Bible. Well, number two, in Christianity, we find the principle that the government is not above God, and that the government, although it is to be respected, is not above the people. Romans 13:1, Paul said this, "Let every soul," and I've got that underlined in my Bible, every, that means the president, the Supreme Court, the congressman, all of them, "let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Well, who's that? It says, "For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." You can only have true liberty in the absence of tyranny. And the only cure for tyranny is for the power to remain with the people. That is where we in America get our principle of a government of the people, by the people, for the people. The power is to remain in the hands of the people. That is a biblical principle that comes from the pages of the Bible. We're suffering today in our country from administrative tyranny. The presidential administration does what they want to do. Judicial tyranny, they do what they want to do. Legislative tyranny, they just do what they want to do. Well, we don't have time to deal with that, but you probably realize what we're talking about. But in Christianity, the power is to remain in the people. That's the only way you cannot have tyranny, is for the people to have the power. And the leaders are to be under the same laws as everybody else. The Word of God teaches us that. Our nation is based upon these principles. One last one quickly. In Christianity, we find the principle that liberty is worth fighting for. I said the book of Galatians is Paul's fighting epistle, or letter is what that means. But in Galatians 5:1, he said this, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you've been set free, it's worth staying free. He said, do not get entangled again in all this. Of all the heroes of liberty, the Apostle Paul has to be at the top of the list, because this former oppressor became a beacon of liberty after his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible said in John 8:32, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Our time is quickly come and gone today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty. And you can go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Thank you once again for listening. We hope you have a great day. God bless you is our prayer.
News and information with Roten in the Morning, your favorite news talk throughout the day on 8.